Blog Talk Radio.
Be to God in the highest. Welcome, 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 and thank you so much for being here with yours truly, your hostess, Lisa Marie, here on Wonderful Wednesdays. And what a blessing it is to be here with you, emulating from the throne of the Bride Queen. Yes, yes, that's what I am. And I bless the Lord for crowning me with loving kindness and tender mercies. I thank the Lord for it, his loving kindness and tender mercies. And what a blessing that we are in the month of June, glory be to God, known as the summer solstice. And I tell you, I hope you're enjoying your summer so far. The weather has been beautiful, and I'm excited. I'm excited about everything the Lord has prepared for us, given to us freely. And I am just full right now to minister the premiere broadcast of June's offering entitled Father of the Bride, Vows and Oaths. And I tell you, as always, I'm excited to minister what the Lord gives me in its season and its timing. To everything, God has a purpose under the sun based on his timing and seasons. And I hope that you're in your season, in your timing. I hope you're in the flow and staying in the rhythm of your own life. Glory be to God. And most importantly, I hope that you are walking in love, because truly love is the axle that keeps my universal world spinning, 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 spinning. Yes, love is all we need. It is. It's all love is all we need, especially in these times. It's all about love. And I tell you, I'm just excited to share this with you. And despite of and in lieu of what is happening in the world, one thing that I'm reminded of, which is such a blessing, is why I'm here and why I have been elected and predestined to share the good news, to preach the good news, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, especially in these times. And that's because I'm born again. I'm walking in the new nature. I'm saved from the wrath of God, and I'm happy to declare that. I'm honored to declare that. So I'm not going to waste any more time. I have so much to cover and get to. I try to keep the premiere broadcast of every offering pretty light. So I'm going to just kind of share give you a brief summary of the foundational scripture that the Lord gave me for fathers of bride, vows, and oaths, which is Numbers 30. But as I continue this celebration, I'm going to really go in depth and share more of what the Lord has given me regarding Numbers 30 and all the other scriptures. But again, I just wanted to bless you for joining me and for Father the Bride, vows and oaths. And before I start the celebration, I just simply want to say that this offering is dedicated to my father, who is no longer here. He passed on from this life into the next life in the early 90s. And this offering is really special because just as mothers are special, so are fathers. And even though we have a relationship with both our mothers and fathers, which is unique in their essence of who they are as our parents, there's always something special about fathers and daughters and sons. And having lost my father in my early 20s, I was in my mid-20s when he passed away, as I have grown in my womanhood and my femininity, it's been really, you know, hard not having that physical presence of a father to go to and have those talks or just to feel safe, especially being a woman in this world who walks in her power and my authority given to me by God as a woman, and the things that I have had to things that come up against me from males, certain men, not having a father here to go to who is symbolic of protection and strength. It's been sad because I did have a relationship with my father, and in the short time he was here, I had that rapport with him where I could talk with him. And I was so honored to share my journey of Christ with him, and even him coming to Christ by way of his belief and me encouraging him in the faith and all that wonderful stuff. So I want to dedicate this not only to my father, but to those who have lost their father, especially if you're a woman. It's something about being a daddy's girl or having a relationship with your father, being a female. It's really, really precious. And that's why I take my relationship with Father God so seriously, because not having a father and now a mother in the earth realm, I value so much what it means to have a father and everything that comes with God's expression of being my parent. And not only being my father, but now being giving me sonship. You know, I have his son. He came down in the likeness of sinful flesh. So I have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So those three male expressions are very important in my life as a woman. And I just wanted to expound upon that and encourage you that if your mother or your father aren't here, that is the purpose of Father God, is him loving us, adopting us. And the blessing of being reconciled to him is that he knows us. He created us. And down through the years in my growth, that's what has brought me comfort. And that's who I go to, who I run to is Father God when I'm faced with anything in this life, because he's my banner. He's my protector. So I wanted to share that. And I hope that your Father's Day to all fathers will be blessed the whole month. I'm dedicating this month to all fathers. I really bless the Lord for him giving me Father of the Bride, because I wanted to celebrate brides as well. And so Father of the Bride was so, so prophetic and so divine, because it covers Father and the Bride. And the thing that I so love about him giving me this is everything that the union of marriage stands for, and how the Bride, which is given to us in Numbers 30, how she's prepared to be released to her husband. And I thank God for Ephesians, the 5th chapter, the 24th to the 28th verse, which he gave me in saying that that not only are husbands to love their wives, as Christ loved the church, but wives also be subject to their own husbands in everything. So there's not just the male, the husband being caveman, or that dominant. It's a submission that we both should have. The male and female should both have, husband and wife should both have for each other. And he said, as Christ loved the church. And that's the beautiful thing about coming into the love of Christ, and knowing the love of Christ, experiencing the love of Christ, that we love according to how he loved. And not only how he loved, but as he says, gave himself for it, that he might, what? Sanctify it. So there was a purpose in him loving us. It was a purpose in him giving himself, that he may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Hallelujah. And I just really was just basking in this as I was preparing it and for the past couple of weeks, and just basking in what the Lord was saying. And I just really felt a renewal and a cleansing as he ministers to me. Because in this scripture, Ephesians, he says, again, that he might present himself to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. And oh my God, I could just end the whole broadcast on that. He that loveth church, loveth his wife, loveth himself. And that's the thing that I love about the love of Christ, is that he gave himself for us. And he gave himself for us. And so the whole blessing of Father of the Bride, vows and oath, is celebrating not just the two becoming one, but it celebrates the preparation of how we are presented to Christ. Amen, which is what Jesus said he'll do. He'll present us without having spot or wrinkle. Amen, and that's what the word is for. That's what the epistles are for. It's for instruction. It's for correction. It's for rebuke. And everyone that he receives, he scrounges. And that chastisement might not be easy, but if we love the Lord and we want to be his church, his glorious church, he himself will present us to himself. Amen. And so I just love that. And that is exactly what the Father of the Bride does when he releases her and gives her to the bridegroom. He's saying she's approved. She is mature. She's at her time of fulfillment. And so that releasing of the bride to by the father to the bride, to the groom, is such a blessing. And that's exactly what the Lord is preparing us for. And that's what this whole process of being down here, still on the in the earth realm, is prepared for the hereafter, for heaven. Because either we are going to heaven or we are going to hell, and we determine that by who we choose to serve. So I'm excited to just share that because that's what we need to be reminded of as we, as believers, as the remnant church. We must remember in our life day to day that I am here. So I only can speak for myself. I'm here to praise the Lord for the death, burial, and resurrection and the hereafter. Hallelujah. And it's a blessing to be able to be a witness and help someone get to heaven, you know, to share my witness, my testimony that will help someone come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen. And accept him as their personal Lord and Savior. Now, what I want to do now is share with you a psalm. I want to start this celebration off by declaring to you Psalms 45. Psalms 45, which is one of my favorite psalms. And if you follow me on Facebook and Twitter, yesterday I posted Psalms 44. And as I've been praying and in the Word of God, I began to see a synchronicity with the Psalms, which is what the Lord does to me. He synchronizes me with the Psalms. And in certain Psalms he gives me speak prophetically to what's happening right now. And those Psalms, whether they're the degrees of Psalms or they're a song of love, they all speak to what the Lord is saying. And so I wanted to declare Psalms 45 because from Psalms 44 that I gave you yesterday, there is a stark contrast between the two. And Psalms 44 is a psalm of lamentation. And it spoke of a period in time where Israel was going through great warfare. And as I pondered and I meditated upon Psalms 45, and then today he gave me Psalms 44, and then today he gave me Psalms 45, I was like, wow, God, what a contrast. I'm like, from Psalms 44 to 45, that those events could have taken one day, or it could have been 1,000 years or a couple of centuries to get to Psalms 45. Because Psalms 45 is a song that declares the majesty of Jesus Christ. Psalms 44 is mourning and lamentation for the warfare that David was going through. And just in Psalms 45, you see a different tone. So I'm really excited to just share that revelation with you, what he gave me about from Psalms 45 to 44 to Psalms 45, because as the Word of God says, one day is 1,000 to the Lord, and 1,000 is one day. So it's really important to know that we can be changed. We are changed. I was changed in a moment in a twinkling of an eye, and that the Lord doesn't have to take all a century to do anything, because he said he'll do a quick work and finish in righteousness. And that's why it's so important to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to be caught up with the Lord. Amen. To be the present day church and walk in the grace of God, his favor and obedience to his word so that we can see the fullness of the Godhead body. I kind of made a boo-boo here. Got to get back online. But, yeah, I just wanted to share that because he's giving me that. He gave me Psalms 45. And as you remember, Psalms 45 was the psalm that I birthed time released. I birthed time released and pinpoint. And I haven't come from that birthing in a while, but it's one of my favorite psalms because it speaks of God's glory. It speaks of the bride. And I didn't want to start this out without coming to you. Hold on just 1 second. I'm just restoring my tabs. For some reason, I kind of logged myself out. Just a second. Okay, I hope you can still hear me, and I hope I'm still online because it's showing that I'm Okay, I guess I'm still on. Okay, I'm still on. Okay. Okay. So yeah, Psalms 45, and you know, I'm gonna go quickly to Psalms 45 because I wanted to just share with you the beauty of this psalm, and it speaks of it has everything, encompasses everything that this offering is about. It speaks of the bridegroom being espoused to the church as our king and our ruler, as well as our savior. It has reference and compares the kingdom of heaven to the nuptials, the sacrament of marriage, which is holy. And Matthew, the 22nd chapter, the second verse, Jesus describes it that way. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which made a marriage for his son. And that's another thing that's so important to understand about marriage, that it is always and will always be that it is the man that finds a wife. He did find a wife, find a good thing, and obtain favor of the Lord, not the female. And that's why I really extol men. I respect them highly because they're created in God's image and his likeness. And me knowing my place and my order and my position and how God created me and being in that position, honoring that space and you know, is how God's will comes to pass. So Matthew, the 22nd chapter, the 22nd verse speaks of that. And he says in verse 1 that, I'm a bit distracted. Let me see. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be like unto 10 virgins which took lamps into their oil, took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. So everything's about, again, preparation, as I always say. Everything's about preparation. And so even we see here that in Psalms 45, and we also see the reference of Solomon's marriage with Pharaoh's daughter. And there's also references of our mystical marriage between Christ and his church, because he is the porter, he is the good shepherd. And the royal bridegroom is Christ. And so Psalms 45 really gives us everything that speaks to his excellency, his power, his dominion, the glorious victories. It speaks of his righteous government, which is the church, the institution of marriage, even governments in the earth realm, the splendor of his courts, how there's always order in his courts, where he executes righteousness and releases his judgment from his holy chambers. And most importantly, the royal bride, which is the church, her consent that is gained. We now have access. We have consent to come boldly to the throne of grace. Amen. We have access because of the blood of Jesus, because our sin is covered, because we have been received into heaven. And as the word of God says, no man cometh to the Father but by me. In this same Psalms, we have the nuptials summarized, and that's between at verse 12 to 15. And verse 16 to 17, we see where the issue of this marriage, why they were joined together. So Psalm 45 is just a beautiful psalm because it speaks to everything that the Lord is saying and what he's doing with his bride, which is always growing and evolving and by way of revelation. And what marriage would not be complete without a song? That's what I so love about Psalm 45, because it's a song, although it's a song. And songs are written based on experience, and that should always be reflected in growth, in love, in holiness, in purity, in righteousness, and most importantly, in love. So I wanted to say that and share with you Psalms 45, because I thought it was a wonderful thing that he gave me. Now, before I get into the brief synopsis of Numbers 30, what I want to do is share with you some things the Lord was sharing with me as I was preparing the premiere broadcast. And he was saying to me, it was for me to remind you of the times that we're in, and to encourage you not to be distracted, because these things were prophesied. Jesus said these things will come. He said in the last days there will be perilous times, and he said perilous times shall come, and that's from 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, 1st through the 7th verse. I'm going to read that for you, because as true believers, as the sheep of his pasture, as his crown jewels, as his remnant, we have to keep our eyes on the prize. Amen. Run with patience the race that's set before us. Looking unto Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith. And that's the thing about staying the course, that you know what's happening down here. And not be moved by it, because we are in the ark. We are the Lord's ark. And we are and have been given the gift and the blessing of preaching the good news. We are the light of the world. And he said, the light shines through darkness, and darkness coming in and not. So to get all in the tizzy about all this stuff that's happening, you know, you really will lose your joy first and foremost, and can lose your salvation being entangled with the cares of this world and the warfare in this life. And does that mean we don't pray? Yeah, we're supposed to pray. But I'm not going to let it steal my joy, because it does not apply to me. I'm in the world, but not of the world. So my position is to pray for those, for my children, my grandchildren who are yet in the world in the generations to come. But I'm going to quickly read 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, 1 through 7 verse, because Timothy is saying, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemy, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, high-minded, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof, for such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sin, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And I tell you, that's a mouthful, because you have a lot of women who want to be married and want to be married, but they want to be married according to the flesh, according to their own personal desires. And marriage is honorable and all. There's nothing wrong with that. Paul says better to marry than to burn, especially if you just want to get to that. But anyone who desires to be married should know that entering into the covenant of marriage is sacred. And also remember the time that we're living in, and how the enemy hates the institution of holy matrimony, which God instituted and created, which reflects the kingdom of heaven. Now, another scripture I want to read to you is Matthew, the 24th chapter, which in essence, Jesus was saying that in the last days, many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. He also was saying that you should hear of wars and rumors of wars. He said, see that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. He said, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated for all nations for my name's sake. So Matthew 24 speaks of this. And he said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. He said, but he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And again, these were spoken, these abomination of desolation was spoken by Daniel the prophet, that stand in the holy place, whoso read him, let him understand. So, you know, I'm not moved by all this, because my position is saved, being saved. And he also said and declared, we're to save ourselves from this wicked and untoward generation. So the message of the gospel, which is the good news, is prophetic, not political. And we need to remember that as believers and leaders. The government's upon his shoulders. And if the church is entangled with all this stuff, how can we then present our king and allow people to come to Christ, and we wouldn't be marred with all this stuff? Or if you're marred with all this stuff, you know, it robs us from the message. And I just want to just touch on that, because the message of the gospel has to stay pure and unadulterated, and you can't mix it. Yes, Jesus always dealt with the time and whatever was going on that time, with seizure or whatever government was there, but he kept his focus on why he came. And that was for the lost sheep of Israel. And they were saved to believe the message by way of the message. So the way out is through Jesus Christ, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. And I just encourage those of you who are the bride of Christ to remain steadfast and move always about in the book of the Lord. Now, I'm going to quickly go to the introduction that I put up. And I only have about 15 minutes left. And I'm going to just get into this, because when I come back and continue the celebration, I'm going to get into number 30. But I wanted to just basically share with you what the Lord was saying to me regarding vows and oaths, because there's a difference between a vow and an oath, a distinct difference. A vow is something that is whispered and uttered personally. It's a promise that is made to oneself or to someone else. An oath is a promise made before an institution or authority. Oaths serve as objective guarantees of what is promised. And it usually is sealed by the swearing to be faithful and true to that, based on the office and the election that was given for the purpose of fulfilling that vocation. So I wanted to make sure I gave you the difference between an oath and a vow. And both are very serious. They really are, because in the book of Proverbs it says it's better to not make a vow than to make it and break it. It's better not to vow at all. And Jesus also said that we should not swear by anything in heaven or anything by earth or by his throne. So I think when people take oaths and pledges or make vows, they need to first of all know what they're doing. Because you have a lot of these young people who in this generation pledging themselves and giving themselves over to different ideologies and causes, and they really don't know where the root is coming from because they operate out of emotions and feelings. A lot of stuff is guised and disguised and masked as something righteous when it's really not. So I want to quickly go to my introduction of Numbers 30. And when I prepared this, I knew I, in the premiere broadcast, I was going to get to number 30, so I kind of made sure that I kind of gave a brief synopsis of what Numbers is. And in number 30, we see Moses speaking to the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, the things which the Lord had commanded. The vows and oaths were given to the men who were the head of the tribes, who were given the vows first. So the vow was first given to the men and then to the women. The women also swore their oath. And any oath that's made unto the Lord or vow binds the soul. And in Numbers, it speaks of and shows that if the vow is made, that the vow shall not be broken. And that's why it's important that when we take any vows or confess our vows or anything, confession of love or whatever, that we know that what we're doing and know that any vow you make, it binds your soul. And so it's important to know that you just can't be pledging to stuff or vowing to stuff and not know what the root is. Now, the vows that were made by the head of the tribes was a vow, which is a promise rendered unto the Lord, which, again, likewise, if a woman also vowed a vow to the Lord and her and bind her by a bond, being in her father's house in her youth. And this is really important because that's why the Lord always speaks about his house. He always speaks about us being faithful to him because it's in our youth that the Lord trains us. It's in our youth that the Lord calls us. And it's so important that being mentored, being fathered, having that natural and spiritual parenting is important because once you are released from your father's house, that which you've learned, you're yet bound to until you come in covenant with your husband or your wife. And this is what Numbers is declaring, that while she's in her father's house in her youth and her father hear her vow and hear bond wherewith she had bound her soul, and her father shall hold his peace at her. So if and it's custom that when a woman was in her father's house and she was in her youth and she made a vow and was bound by that vow, the father heard it, he held his peace. And that says then all her vows shall stand. And every bond wherewith she had bound her soul shall stand. Now, as I was putting this together and the Lord was giving me this, he was saying to me that that's just like when we confess him. When we confess him as Lord and Savior, we're bound by that confession. And that's why it's so important to make sure that confession is a confession of faith, not of works. Because, again, as I always share with you and I always tell you and I teach you, that our confession of faith becomes alive because of who it's in. We're confessing the faith of Jesus Christ, which is based on the acts that he did, based on the resurrection power that was manifested by God, given to him by God as he went about teaching and establishing the kingdom of heaven. And so he was saying the same thing about our confession of faith. When we acknowledge and give him full disclosure of our sins, by way of confessing our sins, he's not only just in faith, but to forgive us and cleanse us and of all unrighteousness. He said, well, there's no confession of sin. There's no remission of sin. So sin cannot be remitted or forgiven if there's no confession. And again, sin is the problem. Sin is the problem, which binds you to the law, which binds you to the natural man. And that's what I love about what he's saying in this offering, is that our confession of faith is the thing that will bring alive our covenant. Now, I only have 5 more minutes left, so I'm going to go quickly go to, again, him being our great high priest. When we confess our sins before him and his witnesses, because every person who confessed Jesus Christ should have confessed their sins before a witness. But God said he would never leave himself without a witness. That witness who witnessed our conversion is one that we've confessed Christ. Amen. When we obtain absolution, and our sins are resolved, the vow and the oath made for the Lord is made from the heart. Now, I want to include Hebrews, the 10th chapter, the 23rd, 30th verse, which brings us and gives us a new living way. Amen. A new testament by way of our confession of our sins, by way of the blood of Jesus, by way of him giving his life for us, taking our place. And this consecrates us, amen, as we draw near to him with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Now I'm going to end there, and when I come back later in the week, I'm going to pick up from here, because what's important to know about our vows and our oaths in the New Testament, being a new creature, having a new and living way, a New Testament based on faith, not works and deeds and self-righteousness, but by the washing of the word, by the washing of the blood. I'm going to share with you how that promise, hallelujah, of the Father, amen, gives us that blessed assurance, amen, and how we are now being converted can now strengthen our brethren, amen. The word of God said, when thou converted, strengthen thy brethren, and we can't strengthen our brethren if we don't have a witness. Amen. If our witness is damaged, or if we don't really have a testimony, or if we keep crucifying Christ afresh and anew, always going back to the altar saying, Lord, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. You know, that destroys your witness and your testimony. You can't do that, you know, and that does not bring glory to God being the Father. Amen. Our light can't shine if we are marred, if it's dimmed. So, I'm excited to share more with you from June's offering, Father the Bride, vows and oath. And again, I'm excited to celebrate all brides in June, and I hope that you will come back and join me. I will be posting when I'll the next broadcast, the next airing. Until then, I'm blessing you, wishing you peace, blessings, and much love. Hoping you're staying safe. And staying prayed up, stand before the Father, coming boldly to the throne of grace, making your calling and election sure. Amen. And most importantly, that the joy of the Lord will be your strength. Peace, blessings, and much love, and I will speak with you soon. Take care. Love y'all.